Hello, campers. We are now offering enamel pins with our logo for our $10 tier on Patreon.com. Go to patreon.com/SSFC or follow the link in our show notes to represent camp.
And now for the show.
So I watched hours of scary TV shows to try to find the perfect one, because there's been a lot of possession talk at the water cooler, and I wanted to get away from anything that could be explained away by a personality disorder.
Good.
So I was like, no, like, we've done a lot of, like, I want some, like, hard paranormal weirdness happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I want shit to fly off the shelves. I want to happen, mm-hmm. like, real shit. So I spent a lot of time combing through YouTube, and I eventually landed on one that I think you guys are really going to enjoy.
Rad.
So I used the classic television show, or I don't know if it's classic. They all have the same motherfucking name, so it's hard to tell which is which, frankly, but it's the show My Haunted House.
Ooh.
Not to be confused with My Ghost Story or The Haunted or A Haunting. They're all called the same thing, but My Haunted House.
Okay.
It takes place March 18th, 2006 is when their story begins. And who we're meeting up with is a man named Joel and a woman named Jen. They are very standard white brunette young couple. Like, they look like right out of the box young couple.
Okay.
Jen is really sweet. She's really pretty. She has long brown hair and bangs, and she's really pretty. Usually the people on these shows are not. And I think that adds to the credence of their words. But she was very pretty, and she seems like the type of woman where if you were at camp and she's like one of the chaperones and your tummy hurt, you would trust her to go with you to the bathroom, and like she would be really sweet and non-judgmental. Aww. Like, she's the kind of mom that's like everybody's mom.
Aww.
Like, she's that kind of woman.
I like her already.
Yeah, so we love Jen. Joel, on the other hand,
we don't like Joel.
You're gonna find out about Joel and my feelings on him, so I really don't think we should even preface.
He dabbles, doesn't he?
I'll say, no, he doesn't dabble. He is a very classic paranormal activity boyfriend.
Ugh.
So, they're married, and they just moved for Joel's new job. However, he travels constantly for work, so I don't understand why you would move to a whole new place if you're not even going to be there, but... Last I'll try to understand the corporate model. So, Jen is 3 months pregnant. Joel is constantly on the road, constantly flying to different places. He must be in some sort of sales or something, I don't know. So, Jen, 3 months pregnant, it's up to her to find a house to rent, because they've been living in a hotel and it's been getting really expensive.
Yeah.
So, one day, March 18th, she sees like 9 homes. But the real estate agent is like, I have a place that is absolutely perfect for you. Like, you're not going to want to go anywhere else. Like, let me show you this perfect house.
Do not trust this house.
So,
So
the real estate agent takes her to this house, and it's really big. It's much bigger than they'd anticipated being able to afford. It looks way, way out of their price range. But it's beautiful, and it's huge. And there's an extra room that she thinks would just make such a perfect nursery. And she's walking around to this room that she's imagining as a nursery. And she sees at the top shelf in the closet, there's something up there in an otherwise totally empty room. So she goes up there and she pulls down a tiny little baby girl's shoe. Oh. And she takes that as like, oh my God, this is meant to be a baby's nursery. Like Morgan's face. If I saw that, I would find that deeply upsetting.
I burn the house and leave.
Yeah. Just like light a match, throw it behind me, walk out. But not everyone has such a vivid and extraordinary imagination.
Baby propaganda. I don't need it.
What? Baby propaganda.
Yeah, I don't need
it. Are the babies the ones propaganding?
Yeah. Yeah, they're very pro-baby. I don't need that.
Yeah, no. So she takes that to be like a great sign.
Okay.
And she's starting to get her heart set on this house.
Oh, God.
But she just knows that it's way out of her price range. So she goes up to the real estate broker and is like, dude, like, this is beautiful. Of course it's beautiful, but we can't afford this. And she was like, actually, it's only this much a month. And she's like, oh, that's super cheap. Yeah. Let's fucking do it. And the real estate's like, the only caveat is that it's a minimum year's lease.
Okay.
And there's a huge security deposit.
Okay.
Because the last couple that had lived there had broken their lease and moved out abruptly.
Okay.
And apparently that, the wife of the couple that had lived there before had also been pregnant.
Oh. God damn it!
Okay.
Okay.
So she says that she should have run it by Joel first, but she was like, she didn't want to lose the house to someone else, and in the real estate game, you gotta fucking act. You cannot show fear. So she was just like, fuck it, I'm signing this lease, we're doing this.
Oh, what if it wasn't haunted? What if there was severe foundational damage? I'm stressed.
Did anyone ever stop to think about the foundation? Have you ever considered getting an inspector in there? Because let me tell you, you get a small plumbing problem that becomes a big plumbing problem.
I tell you what, you gotta get that roof inspector. You want to come down on you to rain the...
Ever heard of termites?
I got them. I now know all the signs for any problem a house could have. Termites, carpenter ants, roof damage.
Oh, you're like a home... You do rent a home.
I rent a home that's falling apart around me.
Should have been inspected. Okay. There is a show called Paranormal Home Inspector or something along those lines.
Oh.
Apparently it is very bad. Where they'll have someone supposedly a haunted house, and then they'll have a home inspector come in and be like, yep, yeah, this door jamb is uneven. That's why it would open in the middle of the night. Going like, yep, this furnace is about 60 years old. This is why you're having this issue.
Oh.
Like, yep, there's mold in this. And then he literally just points out all the things wrong with the house, doesn't fix any of them, and then basically debunks all of the paranormal activity in the house. And then a psychic comes in, and she really seems like a TV psychic. Like, she's like, oh, something just touched me. Oh, I swear. Like, there's just darkness in here. There's just thickness in the air. And I'm like, okay, bitch. No. No.
That's the furnace.
Worth their salt would be, oh, something just touched me.
Yeah. Like, she'd be okay. Like, okay, let's get Chip in there.
Oh, I don't like this.
Mm-mm. 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 Oh, he's bragging.
Okay, so she signs off on the house. March 23rd, 2006. They move in. Everything's great. There's a pool in the back. She loves the pool. She swims, like, every night for an hour in the pool. And one night, after she's done swimming, she was gathering leaves, and she says, wasting time gathering leaves. I'm like, that's a valuable use of your time.
Yeah.
Don't call that wasting time. This sweet woman, I just want to hold her and hug her and explain feminism to her, but she seems to be, she's constantly self-deprecating, constantly. Like,
where are they
everything.
From? Do we know where they're from?
No. They never say where they're from or what state they're in.
Mm.
So I can't even take a guess. They have the most neutral dialects. So there's no... I'm like trying to detect what's going on. No, nothing. They're super neutral classic American dialect. So she's wasting time doing that chore. And she sees something... This is nighttime. And she sees something at the bottom of the deep end. Okay. And she's staring at it and she thinks, this can't be what I think it is. But she scoops with the net up, brings it up to her, and it's a baby shoe. It's the exact same baby shoe. But that's impossible because the shoe that she had found is hanging in her car.
What? Wait a second. Back that up.
Yeah.
Why would she do that? I mean, I guess I get...
Because it's like a good omen.
I think it's a bad omen. And you're just taking that energy around with
where
you. But
you and Jen disagree.
Okay. Okay, so now she's realizing maybe it wasn't just a cute little sign.
She's like, but this is hanging in my car. So she goes to her car, mm-hmm. and the shoe is gone. So it's the exact same shoe.
Okay.
So she goes inside and she's like, Joel, did you put this shoe in the bottom of the pool? And he was like, no, what are you talking about?
God.
Crazy woman wasting time doing chores. And she was like, this shoe, it was in my car. It's gone. It's at the bottom of the pool. Did you do it? Had to have anything to do with this? And Joel says in the, like, interview cutaway, I couldn't believe she got so worked up over nothing.
Do you want to fight me, Joel?
Believe me, that won't be the last time you think those words. How, like, non-nuanced of a mind would you have to be like, so what? You know, it's just a shoe. I'm not extrapolating any other information from or the so what, it's just a shoe. So it was in your car, so it's at the bottom of the pool. Whatever.
So what does that mean? I can't.
So nothing. I can't.
I don't have the end. Original thought. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's just like
pick up your leaves.
I imagine he has a brain like the Predator where he just like sees in heat and and is just like zeroes in on shoe and is like not a threat. It's like, it is just a shoe. There is no sharp objects coming out of it. You crazy woman. Like,
ideal world would be that the only paranormal activity in this house is that it just keeps creating more of that shoe. And by the end of their, like, year-long lease there, they've got, like, 350 shoes.
Yeah, and he's just like...
Not a threat.
Whatever. It is not interpreted as a threat. So, May 16th, 2006, March to May.
Okay.
Jen tells us that she was raised Catholic, but that Joel was an atheist. And, okay. And apparently he's like, an angry atheist.
Oh, God. Okay.
I say this because, Jen wants to get the house blessed, but she has to hide it from Joel because apparently he would be really pissed.
So it's 2 months
if that happened. Yes.
Okay. He'd be pissed. See, that's a problem.
That's what I'm saying. He'd be like pissed that a priest was in his house. And I'm like, there are a lot of people who have every right to be very, very angry at priests. But
yeah,
Joel,
you're not one
I feel
of them.
Like you are not one of them.
No. And it's trying to help.
Couldn't hurt. If you don't believe in shit, then
why do you
care? Couldn't hurt. Exactly.
It's just like hiring a maid to clean up a mess. You're hiring someone to clean up a different
kind of mess. You hear that, priests? You're maids. You clean up my demonic mess. You are a glorified dustpan. No. I literally have a book on the Jesuit order on my nightstand right now. So
I love that.
So she has to schedule this blessing but hide it from Joel because she knew that he would be that angry. Childish. So, so she schedules it on one of the many, many days that he's out of town. Priest comes in. Sweet, nice guy. Comes in, starts the blessing. And then when he starts the blessing, everything seems different. Tangibly different. The air seemed more dense. Things just seemed more tense and more heightened. Then the priest stops with no explanation and rushes into the bathroom. He starts violently vomiting.
Okay.
This is not how I would want my house blessing to go.
No. He's just like, throwing up baby shoes.
Father Carmichael, is every... Do you want some Pepto-Bit? Okay, I'll give you some privacy. It's just baby shoes. Yes, yeah. That's very funny. Took a minute for that to land. So he's violently vomiting. Then he walks out of the bathroom, past Jen, doesn't even look at her, walks straight out of the house.
Oh, hey. That's later a great that day, sign. It must have worked perfectly.
So later that day, she calls the church to see what happened, and they hang up on her.
The church is ghosting her?
The school that I, the Catholic school that I went to when I was in early elementary school, followed me on Instagram the other day.
Oh my god.
Isn't that hilarious? That's, I was so like, funny. St. Rose.
Hello.
What, hi. What do you need from me?
What do you want?
What are we doing here? Why? I don't get it. What do you want? But yeah, they just hung up on her, which I think is hilarious. I love that it's like Shirley who, it's probably like your grandma. Like your grandma, like Mimi, answered the phone and was just like, Archdiocese? And not the archdiocese.
My grandma's very important. Give them
a lot of status. Yeah. Like Saint Boodleboop, the patron saint of bubbles. Saint Boodleboops, this is like Shirley. And she's like, hi, I had a priest come over for a blessing and I was just curious what happened. And she's like, And what house was this? And she's like, oh, I live at 492 Schnickelbot. And she's like, boom. She just hangs up. Like, how, like, word must have got around in the church that, like, that shit was crazy.
Yeah.
For them to, like, literally hang up on them.
For the church Shirley, to turn away
Shirley
from
Shirley was just like, okay, let me transfer the call. And then accidentally, she may not know how to operate a...
That's me on my 15-minute reception gigs every Friday. I religiously hang up on people accidentally.
My boyfriend worked briefly covering reception at, there's so many magazines called, there's the New Yorker, there's the New York Times, there's New York Magazine. I think it was New York Magazine. He worked reception and people will just call reception and complain. And sometimes they'll call and not know which magazine they're talking to. They'll call New York Magazine and complain about a New Yorker article, or they'll complain about the New York Times article to this, like, random reception person at New York Magazine. Like, they all have New York in the name, and people get them confused constantly. So it's just a mess.
Why call and complain? What are you gaining?
Especially to, like, Ian. To a
receptionist. If you want to call about an article, call and ask for the author of that article, or just screw off.
Or
just screw off.
People did a lot of, hi, can I talk to the opinions people? And they're like, do you have a name? And they're like, no, just connect me with the department. So then he's like, okay, I'm going to give you to a temp who works. Like, I'm going to give you to an intern that works for the editorial department, because no, you're not talking to the person who wrote that article.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty funny.
I love that.
So
the church has turned its back on her.
Yes. very disappointed in that behavior. Not the first nor the last time the Catholic Church has disappointed me. So, again, Joel is out of town. Jen is alone in the house, and I wrote, because Joel is cheating on her. That's not verified, but I think that that's exactly what's going on.
He seems like an ass.
He seems like the exact kind of asshole that would be constantly traveling for work and then just, like, bang a bunch of people with magenta highlights at the shithead sports bars that he goes to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no shade on magenta highlights. That sounds kind of cool. So, so she's, like, walking around the house and it's dark, alone in this big house, and she notices a bunch of little puddles.
Okay.
On the ground.
Okay.
And they're leading from the pool to upstairs, and she looks closer at them. They look like teensy little footprints.
Baby. It's Pet Sematary-ing, and I'd leave the
Gage,
house.
Gage! What did you do?
No fair! No fair! No fair!
Love you, Gage. Lives to kill again. Gage the return. So she is terrified, but she decides to follow the little footy prince upstairs. Her heart is pounding. She wants to call the police, but she just keeps following them and then is just like, fuck this. Okay. I'm just gonna go to bed. She convinces herself that it's just her imagination. Jen, you are intelligent, and you know what the hell is going on. Trust yourself, because you are right.
I feel like a lot of pregnant women go through so many emotions and changes in their body that they don't trust their instincts on a lot of stuff as much.
I think a lot of women, period, don't trust their instincts on a lot of things, because you get a lot of people saying, oh, what, so it's just a shoe, it just teleported, the end. And it's like, no, there's more to that. There's a defter touch is required here, and just because you don't have the nuance to understand that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. And I don't even think a pregnant mind could invent wet baby footprints up a fucking stair. But I don't know. Maybe. Pregnant listeners, what do you think?
Thoughts?
So,
has this happened to you?
So later that night, she's trying to sleep. It's the middle of the night. She hears someone come in, and she's like, oh, Joel is home early. Yay. She feels someone brush their fingers through her hair and whisper, it's going to be such a beautiful baby. Only problem was, it was a woman's voice. And she was
only
more
problem
turned
was
on
she
than
knew
she
they
ever
were both
had
been ugly
in her life.
Oh my god, okay.
That would have been a great ending. She just realizes she's queer, and then they go off and raise the baby, and Joel is left with his job that apparently he loves so much. Anyway, she couldn't sleep for 4 days.
Finally,
I can't believe he was gone for that long, just on like a business trip. So finally Joel gets home, and Jen rushes to him and says, we can't stay here. And Joel, master of wit and rapport, I wrote, says, oh, and in the cutaway interview, he said, she just got like hysterical. And I was like, Joel, poor choice of words. You can't say that.
No.
Oh, when she's like legitimately fearful for her safety and the safety of their unborn child. And then he said, we're not leaving because you're having bad dreams.
Okay. Okay. Does the ghost get him? Because that's the only way I'm okay with all this.
So then, Joel, in the cutaway, the real man, Joel, not the actor that they cast to play him in the reenactments, says, "So I made a promise I knew at the time that I couldn't keep." Fucking, I can't even. He's literally so shameless in his bullshit. I can't. Oh my God. He's just like, "So I made a bullshit promise." And he said, "I'll stay off the road for a while until things settle down and you feel more comfortable."
What an asshole.
Yes, yes. So, cut to June 25th. Joel has kept his promise thus far and has been staying home, and there's a knock at the door. Joel opens it, and there are two priests on the doorstep. One is the same one that had come to bless this house, older, except for his eyes are like milky now and he's just like muttering in Latin, and there's another priest like holding him up next to him, and Joel goes, "There's some crazy priest talking nonsense." I bet his little atheist brain was like so validated by that, just like, okay, yap yap, crazy, bye bye. Like, God. So then Jen shows up and she like can't acknowledge that she has seen this priest before and that he's been in her house before, but Joel will be pissed, so Joel just thinks there's crazy priests on their doorsteps. It's like, no, we're not interested, thank you, goodbye.
I am obsessed with that.
He's muttering in Latin and this other priest is with him and tells Jen that he apologizes but that the older priest had insisted on coming to the house, and Jen is like, no, it's fine, what is he saying? And the other priest says, it's Latin, he's saying she wants the baby. And then okay. Joel says, yeah, of course she wants the baby, bye.
Oh my god.
He's like, okay.
What is he thinking?
Let me know if you guys ever sell Girl Scout cookies. Bye. Clicks the door. And then Jen is like, oh, fuck. And Joel is like, pizza tonight? So.
Oh my god.
August 3rd.
Oh my god, okay.
Everything calmed down for a while, but Joel says, but after being home for so long, I was starting to get a little stir crazy, you know, being with my pregnant wife. So I got...
Being a family, you know? Yeah.
So I got this really cool baby monitor that maintains signal for like a mile. He's one of the like gear dads, the dads that are like, so I looked this up on Amazon and apparently this is the best you can get for the price and it can maintain a signal for a mile, which is like, unless you're planning on buying an estate where the baby's nursery is a full mile away from the main house, needless. So he sets up this monitor. It's got a camera, and later that night, he's working on his laptop, and he noticed that Jen had left the baby monitor on. He looks at the screen and sees the back of Jen staring at the crib they had set up. And he goes, Jen, staring at the crib isn't going to make the baby come any faster. She's not turning around. She's not reacting.
Oh my god, it's not fucking Jen!
Turning your head all the way around, is it going to make the baby come any faster? Hey, Jen.
Projectile vomiting around the room.
You're going to clean that up, okay? She doesn't respond, ever. He starts to get a weird feeling. So she leaves the monitor, and she walks in. And she's like, why are you yelling? And he was like, you were just in the nursery, right? And she was like, no, I was in the garage. And he was just like,
duh! Oh my god.
Okay. And he doesn't say anything. He doesn't want to scare Jen. And also,
he doesn't want to scare himself.
He does not want to admit what the fuck just happened. So he's just like, cool. Just gonna flip that off. So August 23rd, Joel is working late again, so Jen thought a good swim would help her sleep. So she's swimming laps, and she comes up for air and sees a woman in the pool in front of her. She disappears.
Okay.
Freaked the fuck out. She's like, I can't do this anymore. I have to do some research on this house and find out what the hell's going on here. So she finds the chain of title to the house. In the past 16 years, no one has lived there for more than 2 years at a time, which is very unusual in a house unless it's like a college town. Like, unless, you know, it's in a place where people are coming and going very quickly. In like a normal ass neighborhood, people usually stay in homes more than 2 years at a time.
Yeah, for sure.
So she decides to Google the address.
Okay.
And
which she should have done when she was renting, like purchasing the house, but okay.
So she searches the address and she finds a 16-year-old news report.
It's always good.
Police arrived to a grisly scene at this suburban home where a young mother drowned her 2-year-old daughter and then herself in their backyard pool.
Hey. Okay. Your landlord is legally obliged to tell you if someone died on the property, but okay.
Not everywhere. Not everywhere. Those laws are different from state to state.
Ugh.
I think they have to respond if you ask.
Oh, that's true. You
but
have
they
to
are
ask.
Not obliged. Not everywhere not are they obliged to tell you. So she starts packing her bag. She's like, okay, great. Gonna fold my shit up and get the fuck out. So Joel was gonna be home any minute and she was gonna be ready right when he got home. She was like, I'm gonna go. Phone rings. Hey, babe, I'm going to be late. These really hot twins. I mean, I've got
paperwork.
More
so many contracts.
Contracts.
Strategic considerations. So. Huddles. Business. Bye.
Slack! Hangs up. So she is... beyond upset. And she says, I should have stayed in a hotel that night. I really wish I had. And then in parentheses, I wrote, I will never get over this. Joel is my worst enemy.
How late? He's just coming the next day?
Like, he was going to get home, like, late at night.
Oh.
I don't know what kind of work he could possibly be doing that would take him, like, day and night and out of town and just like late into the night. I'm like, what do you do, Joel?
She should have gone to like an IHOP or a Denny's or like a 24-hour diner or something and just sat there with people.
That's an interesting idea.
It's free.
It's terrible coffee, but
but it's better than being haunted.
Well,
maybe a little bit, depending on the haunting,
depending on your preferences. So she's sleeping. In the middle of the night, she wakes up to a gurgle sound.
Jesus. All right. Fine. Okay. Sure.
She opens her eyes, and there's a wet, dead woman laying in bed beside her, looking at her. Cut to Joel saying... Nope. I had to pack the entire house by myself.
What a hard life you must live, Joel.
Literally, Jen just saw an apparition of a drowned, decayed woman in her bed. And all Joel can say is, I had to pack the entire house by myself. A few months later, Jen gives birth to a healthy little girl they name Emily. Jen later finds out that the little girl who was drowned in the pool was also named Emily. The end.
Oh my god!
The YouTube comment community was not not to be depended on. I think... My favorite comment said, I am nine. This is horrid.
I want that, like, as a tattoo.
I thought that was so funny. I'm like, oh, wow, really you really good. Shouldn't be watching this nine-year-old little me.
I hope we get a review like that on our podcast.
I am nine.
I am nine.
This is horrid. Fuck you, Jacob. It's good. You don't know shit.
Go up.
You like the Lego movies. I've heard that actually they are a pretty interesting commentary on capitalism. But don't fucking, you don't know shit.
This is horrid.
But no, mostly people were either like, this is fake, or they were like, oh, she should have looked into the house, right when she moved in, and then I would have never moved in if I knew that, like, there people get on a weird, like, paranormal high horse, where they're like, well, the moment I found that foot, I would have been out of there, and it's like, no, you wouldn't. What? Like, no, you wouldn't.
Security deposits and year-long leases are no joke. You go through a lot.
So that is My Haunted House. The name of this episode is Nursery. So yeah, I thought that was really fun.
I think it's really interesting that pregnant women keep being... I mean, I guess the foot, the little baby shoe helps. But even that, they always tour that house. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that they gravitate there.
Yeah, they're psychically drawn because there's an energy there that's like, come little children, I'll take thee away.
I wonder the names of the other families that left, what their babies were named.
Whoa.
What's the male version of Emily?
Emile.
That's what I was thinking that. I was like, that's also like a French female.
No, it's male. Emile. It's a male name. If you have a scary story of your own to rival that of Jen and Jewel, email it to us at letterstocamp@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram. We post pretty often. I usually find some fun art to post. So if you're a fan of fun seasonal illustration, you'll find something for everyone there at Scary Stories from Camp Roanoke. You can follow me on Instagram. Katie_Wiggins_KATY, and you can follow Morgan at Panic at the Drisco, and all the cuss sounds are K's. You could do us a huge favor by reviewing and rating our podcast. Takes like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. and just pop in a 5 stars and a cool, nice, love it.
Make our day.
Yay.
I was nine. Horrid. You know.
Exactly. Scarred.
That kind of
upset.
Stuff.
that would really, if you want to help us out in any way, that would really be a tangible way to do that. So great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a spooky night.
Filled with restless dreams.
Of haunted things and baby shoes.
Shoes!
Slingbacks! No. Espadrilles. The end. You hear that, priests? You're maids! You clean up my demonic mess!
Mm-hmm.